You'll turn our Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19. Last night, our brother McMeekin took us to the beginning of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and gave us some very important principles in connection with the service of our Savior. I was thinking before the Lord about the conclusion of our Savior's ministry, and this particular portion came to my heart in Luke chapter 19. And perhaps we can read it together. And it says here in verse 11, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he gave the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, and I want to emphasize that, faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art a austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. And may the Lord help us to give in a short time some encouragement and challenge to every one of our hearts. I believe that one of the most important aspects of Christian life and testimony is to understand what our brethren were bringing before us this morning, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God in relationship to a believer today. The Apostle Paul, when he was rehearsing to the elders of the church in Acts 20, he speaks about preaching the grace of God. Now, it's the grace of God that brings us into the glorious salvation that we enjoy. And I believe that salvation is an enjoyment and not an endurance test. I have enjoyed salvation since the first moment that God saved my soul, and it gets sweeter as the days go by. But Paul also reminded them that he went preaching the kingdom of God. And therefore, I believe that a fuller understanding of the kingdom of God, if the grace of God saves us, the teaching of the kingdom of God will sober us. Because we find here a picture, a story, that the Lord Jesus Christ, a parable, that would bring before us, every one of us, onto common ground. There are some parables that we read about. For instance, you find in Matthew 25, you have the talents. And there you find that the Lord gave different talents. And therefore you have various gifts, as it were, different capacities and opportunities in the day and age in which we live. We don't all have the same talent. But it's an interesting parable to look at. Then you remember the laborers in Matthew 20. There you find some of them labored long and some short. Now we bring before us that quite often in the Lord's work we have unequal opportunities. But this one of the pounds can be applied to every one of our hearts. Because it brings before us something that is common to every one of us. There was absolutely no distinction as far as the nobleman was concerned. They were going up to Jerusalem, and you find here in verse 11, they had difficulties. They were thinking wrong thoughts. They were anticipating wrong expectations. And consequently, instead of what was going to turn out as they thought, the whole thing was going to be changed. And the Lord seems over and over again to emphasize that he was going back to heaven. I love that in Luke chapter 9, when the time came to be received up, he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. It wasn't so much the cross, but it was the going home. It was the nobleman going home to receive the kingdom. And here you find that, I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ bringing before them that he was going to the place Jerusalem, and from there he would be going back to his Father's home. In the meantime, he brings before them the responsibility that he's going to place upon them. I want you to notice that it seems to be that these servants were given £1 each. And the responsibility was to trade with what the Lord had given them. And then he assures them that he will come back. And he will review. And he'll ask for them to give an account of their stewardship with the pound. The pound, I believe, is something that is common to each one of us. And would I suggest that this is true of every child of God? That there is given to us by the Lord Jesus, as one has said, only one life. 'Twill soon be past. And what is done for Jesus will last. And let us look at it in connection with the life that the Lord has given to us. Let us look here that when the Lord Jesus was held up to the giddy multitude, this is what they said, "Away with him. We will not have this man to rule over us." Those of us who have been saved by the grace of God and left behind, we've been left behind with a responsibility, and that is to trade with what the Lord Jesus Christ has given us for his glory. You'll notice that they were left in the midst of enemies. It was the enemy that said, "Away with him. We will not have this man to rule over us." One of the aspects of the gospel that needs to be emphasized. And I hope that our younger brethren will give time. If you're going to teach a Sunday school class, you're going to speak in the open air, if you're going to go on in the things of God and serve Him, get to know what the gospel is. The gospel is not you telling stories. The story I heard a man one time saying, you know, there's someone that could preach the gospel from old Mother Hubbard. The distance you went and the disappointment that you got, and she was disgusted at the end, that is not the gospel. We heard this morning that it is the Word of God. And there are at least four things that are very important about the gospel. One is, the apostle preached this. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And the lordship, irrespective of what people might say, the lordship of Christ is an important aspect in the proclamation of the gospel. The gospel, when it's preached in connection with the lordship of our blessed Savior, it brings authority into our lives. And that's what we were hearing this morning. It brings the rule of God into our lives. God has not left us here, young brethren, young sisters, or older brethren and sisters, to plan our own life according to what we think we should be doing. God has left us, and we come under the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There was never a time in my life that I can remember that I didn't want to be saved. And I thank God for the home that I was brought up in. But the home where I was brought up in was a home where I thank God the Lord Jesus Christ was Lord in word and deed. And it was the life. It wasn't that I didn't want to be saved, but when I looked at that life didn't suit me. I didn't know how I would be able to live that life. I couldn't live that life. There's the things of the world and time and sense that occupied my attention. But I thank God that I heard the gospel, that untarnished gospel. One of the things was that there was a bowing to the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ, that to receive Him was to receive Him as Lord and Savior. I don't follow the persuasion that you can have Jesus as Savior and not as Lord. God has taken this same Jesus which you have crucified and hath made Him both Lord and Christ. And in the believer's life, young believer, get this into your soul, that He is either Lord, and these are cliches that we heard, but they're true. If He's not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. He must be Lord, and here you find something about the lordship of Christ in His absence. Notice where they were going to toil or trade in the midst of enemies. People who wanted to know nothing, wanted no rule whatsoever of this nobleman that went away. The world does not want anything to do with the rule of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He has not abdicated His rule to men. We then live in the midst, as these servants did, in the midst of the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would remind, there's young believers, we would always remind our hearts of this, that the enemy, we heard about that this morning, and we'll hear some more about it. We have the enemy around us, the world. That's the scene of sin in which we serve. We have the subtleties of Satan, and there is an underworld. And if you don't believe it, get away out, try and serve the Lord, and you'll soon find it. I'm sure our brethren who have been in gospel work at times have felt, as some of us, that there was almost things grappling at your throat as you proclaimed the gospel in regions where you find the enemy had been there for years. So you find that there's the enemy, the subtlety of Satan. But remember this, that I have something within, that no matter where I go, that's the seat of sin. So you and I need more than ever the Lord Jesus Christ and His authority and His rule in our lives. That the life that we will live here to the glory of God may produce for Him that which is of Himself. 1 pound. And as I looked at this, I thought of how He rewarded them. I noticed there I couldn't help underline it in my Bible. Because Thou hast been faithful in a very little. Imagine. Faithful in a very little. Not something great and grand or anything like that. But here you have a servant who received the instructions from his Lord with a pound to trade. And he traded with it. And when the Lord returned, it had gained 10 pounds. Please don't think that because you're small, you're isolated, you're really, you're not on the platform or anything like that, and some has never wanted to be here. This is where the Lord puts you, so that's it. But you've got a life. And if that life is used under the guidance and control of the Spirit of God in the things of God, you will be indeed surprised how God has blessed that and blessed your life. It doesn't tell us here that there were so many souls saved. He was interested in what his absent Lord had given to him. And that's why I say here you have the thought of common responsibilities. Not just assembly responsibilities, but something that the Lord expects each of us to use our lives and trade these lives for Him and from Him and for Him. I read missionary, I love missionary magazines, and I read, and we have a missionary meeting once a month in our little assembly. And as I read about areas, Tanzania, one of the latest reports was by one of the missionaries there about this dear man who had a bicycle, and he labors and goes to different little assemblies where some of us will never be.
unpretentious labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you do in word and in deed, do all to the glory of God. That is one of the great incentives in the Christian life. Your life and mine should be for the honor and glory of our absent Lord. I want you to notice on the return that he calls them now to, as it were, to give an account. He has given them the pounds and trusted them with them. God has given us our life. He has entrusted us with that which he has given us. And I believe that's that eternal life pulsating through us, leading us and guiding us and giving us the enjoyment of God's salvation, seeking in every way that we can, whether it's at work or school or play or in the family or in the business, no matter what it is, I'm here. Oh, please, young believer, get this into your soul. Wherever the Lord places you, and ask the Lord where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do. Not telling him, well, I want to be this, and Lord, you help me. Paul said, Saul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What is your life? We're not against my today. I have a great, and I'm going to use the word, a sympathy for our young believers in the electronic age in which we live. And there's things that are necessary for you. It's no longer tinkling with an old car. You need to be an expert. So you're living in a different age, perhaps, than we had in the past. But irrespective of what it is, if God gives you the intelligence, what does he give you it for? To waste on the world? To labor for somebody? To end up and have a pension and then die? Is that all that life is? James says, what is your life? Young believer, what is your life? Christ, Paul says, is our life. And that's the life that we want to be living when the Lord is absent, when the world treats him and uses his name in the gutter. Loyalty to the Lord Jesus in this life. You'll be surprised what you can accomplish. Loyalty to him. It's one of the things I think we need to emphasize. The Lordship of Christ, his authority in our lives, and our aim in life to glorify him, to finish the work that he has given us to do. And the Lord is coming back. And as we look out at the scene of the world, tells us that his coming is very, very near. We're not looking for signs, but brethren, they're here. I think it was Mr. Darby that said, just as a stage with a curtain, and they're getting things ready for the play, you can hear behind the curtain the movement of the furnishings. And then the veil or the curtain will go up. And we're right there, young believer. And older believer, the curtain's about to go up. He's going to be unveiled. And may I not be ashamed before him at his coming. The trading by this first servant, did that enrich his Lord? Did that add to his coming
glory and display and excellency? It would seem to me, maybe our brand can help us out on this, it seemed to me that the Lord let them keep what they had traded for. So your life and mine, he that loveth his life, he that keepeth his life, shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake, shall find it. Paradox? Whatever a cup of cold water given in the name of a disciple shall receive a disciple's reward. Mothers, you perhaps think that you're not noticed. Doesn't matter whether you're noticed here or not, you're noticed by this. And some of us standing here in this platform, we owe more to the prayers of a godly mother. A mother who took us and taught us, who prayed for us, wasn't surprised in the least that a boy who had gone into the world wayward, uncontrollable, the night he came home and said he was saved, she knew it. In touch with God. Your life, dear sister, is not wasted when, as we heard in prayer, you seek to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Whatever is done for Christ, no matter what that is, and there's things that we could go on and speak about, but I'm going to sit down just shortly. It says here, faithful in a very little. And I'm sure I speak because I want to speak from my heart. When I get into the presence of the Lord, it seems that he gets so very little returns from my life for all the blessings that he has so richly bestowed upon me. Recently I heard a tape of our brother Leonard Munn speaking to Albert Aiken when they were having meetings together. And as they went to the bedroom that evening, Leonard said to Albert, "Just a minute." And he rolled down the bed and he said to Albert, he says, "That's for us tonight." But he says, "The one that gave it to us had nowhere to lay his hand." And brothers and sisters, when we look at our little life, shall we not say that we want to be faithful even if it's in very little? I believe that what we have here, as our brethren have been teaching us this morning, is the truth of faithfulness to the Lord Jesus in our lives, in his absence. One of the things we can be faithful to is, of course, the assembly. I hope, if God has saved you recently, you've been baptized, that the assembly will be your life. I believe this, that there's only one type of people in the world that the Lord Jesus Christ has set his love upon. I'm not getting away into the gospel, God so loved the world. But his object of affection is the church. I want to ask you, is that your object of affection? Do you love the assembly? His assembly, not our assembly, not your assembly, his assembly. I'm faithful to the assembly gathered to his lovely name. You know, You talk about loving one another. Your absence from the assembly. I told a young man this. I said, you know, you discourage me. Discourage you. I said, yes, the Word of God says, provoking one another to love. And you know, following on that, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is the manner of some. Faithful in our attendance to the gatherings of God's people. Faithful in your witness, whether it's school, college, university, wherever God has placed you. You remember this. The Lord sees everything. And in the day that comes, you'll be thankful for any little bit of faithfulness that He has found in your life. The day's coming for administration. I was with a missionary one time. We were coming down from the mountains in Alaska. It was a beautiful day. And the sun was shining and the mountains were pink. And I said to him, I says, Harold, you think if I put in a request that the Lord would let me be in charge of the mountains in the millennium? Yes, there's going to be, I honestly believe, there's going to be the manifestation of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be in display. Where do you fit in to this particular parable? I hope and trust that you'll not be ashamed. And be like that one who took the pound and wrapped it up in the sweat cloth. No sweat. There has nothing been accomplished for God without sweat. There's nothing been accomplished for God without tears. They that sow in tears, brethren, it's true. We can't look to the enemy, to the world, to come and clap us on the back. But we keep our eye on the absent Lord. And when the Lord is away, surely He would have us as that old song or hymn was. When the Lord is absent, may you and I send this message to Him. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, single still, we have the answer back to heaven. By thy grace, we will.